oh man. So I want to tell you another funny story, because I just love to embarrass myself, evidently. So last weekend, coming home from Florida, as you know, I wasn't here because you guys were all talking about me while I wasn't here. So while I wasn't here, I was coming home on the plane, and this was early, early Monday morning, and I get on the plane, and I paid for an upgrade. I am so done with the back of the plane. You know, where you're like this, and you have no room to do anything. So I paid to be moved up to the front of the plane, and then I go to sit down, and there's a gentleman in my seat, and he's got a baby strapped on the front of him, and I think he was Danish, actually. I think his accent seemed from that area of the world. And so I looked, and he goes, "Is this your seat?" I went, "Yeah." And then he started to get up, and he said something about his girlfriend. I see his girlfriend separated from him on the other aisle, in the other side. So I said, "Oh," I said, "here, you know, I'll move. And so I just moved so I can let her sit next to her man and her baby, right? And I'm feeling mighty fine about myself. Mighty altruistic, okay? Then I sit down and I start talking to a gentleman next to me, and I don't usually talk on planes. I usually like to sleep, and it's not that I'm an unfriendly person, although I am an introvert. On a plane, it's my time to like put blinders on and zone out. But this gentleman, I don't know, we just started yakking, and it was a sweet, quick rapport. We were having fun, and one of the things I was particularly happy about is in the couple of moments that we spoke, he mentioned something about his partner, and I was so thrilled that he could say his partner, and that rolled off his tongue without any sense of protection. Like he didn't have to pretend to be straight. Like he didn't have to pretend. I was so thrilled. And I'm sure he's like that with anyone. I don't think it had anything to do with me, but I was just so happy to witness that that's where we've come today, right? So he and I are yakking, and then he travels all the time back and forth, and he's saying how he really hates sitting in the aisle with kids. And so I was joking. I said, "Okay, then you owe me one. I took one for the team." And because then another mom came down with another baby sat next to that one. We're looking at each other like, "Oh boy, we escaped this one," you know? And we're just yakking and having a good old time when all of a sudden this man walks down the aisle and he looks at me and says, "Is that your seat?" And I look up. I'm in the wrong row. So I've now manipulated the entire row. All the seating is completely off because I think I'm doing a good thing. Like, do you get that? I mean, I'm having my own experience. And I'm thinking I'm all that. So how often are you experiencing something with people and you think they're ignorant or they're unthoughtful or they're discompassionate when truly they're just having their own experience? You know? Have you had your own experience totally oblivious to some of what was going on around you some of the time? Like almost stepping on the flower that Richard's daughter pointed out? So, I mean, truthfully, it was hysterical. It really was funny, the thought that I was really doing this great thing only to find out I was totally messing with the plane's seating arrangements because you can't have two children in one row because of oxygen masks. So everybody had to get up and move, and I got up, and I had to move to the row ahead of me. The beautiful thing is, though, 5 years ago, that would have come with a lot of embarrassment. I don't care. What happened was left in the row. Right? Do you get that? It was left there. I didn't have to even carry it to my next seat. Because I could tell the women that were sitting next to me, they were all about sleeping. It was like, you know, 7 in the morning, so which means I had to be up at 4:30. So I was all too happy to sleep. But I got to leave it where it is. And so often we don't leave our stuff there. You carry it along for years. You carry it. And I guess I must be in the midst of a new growth spurt. And I know this because I'm starting to notice some things and I'm getting a little cranky about some stuff. And so as soon as that happens, that says to me, oh, I gotta look. I gotta do some more shadow work. No one hates shadow work. I mean, no one likes shadow work. It's painful. I mean, although it's the freedom, it's the place of freedom. And so this is what I know about diving deep into that place of your inner being, bless you, is it's just like the taller the tree, the deeper the roots. The taller the building, the stronger the foundation. However, sometimes we come into this teaching and sometimes we try to use it as a self-help, a prosperity, like just all about bigger, 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 but without the equidistance of going deep. You're building on top of a shaky foundation, and this will collapse. Maybe not now, but down the road. And sometimes the collapsing looks like a relationship falling apart, or the collapsing looks like, bless you, or the collapsing looks like losing a job, or the collapsing looks like losing the fortune that maybe you raised because you're in your own world. And you weren't fitting in, but that you weren't in sync with some of the greater things to hold you up. Sometimes I want to put a sign out the door, SOM customers, beware. SOM stands for Science of Mind, in case you don't know, in case you've missed that, because that's what we teach here. And I want to say beware, and I want to say beware of spiritual bypass. Because there is a danger of trying to use affirmations to distract ourselves from the stuff that has to get cleaned up. Now, the beauty is the younger we get in here, the less stuff we have. And so as long as we maintain our activity and our spiritual practices, we most likely will not gather all of the weight. Because we do want a life of joy. We do want a life of prosperity. Don't you? You know, a life of freedom. However, my perception, you know, I'm, you know, me being the main gig here, I would not want you to go up without equally going deep. I think you're doing yourself a misjustice, and I think I'd be doing you a misjustice if I didn't help you to at least recognize the value of both. Never stop reaching and dreaming. I mean, which is the whole point of this month about celebrating creativity and about the creative, what's my title? Courageous stubbornness? Yes, courageous stubbornness. Because it takes that. First, you have to, you have to recognize that you want to go somewhere, right? And then it takes your determination to get you there. And so creativity is sloppy. You ever see an artist at work? They're sloppy. They usually do wear something. I think an artist that's not sloppy probably is too controlled. I want to see an artist that's wearing their paints. I want to see it all over them. I want to see a musician that is all over, you know, all over the 88 keys before he finally or she finally settles into that sound, in that particular sound in that moment. We all know about sex and birth. Those are really sloppy, okay? But they are a form of creativity. So in order to be creative, you have to be willing to get dirty. You have to be willing to get dirty, you have to be willing to make mistakes, and you have to be willing to make brazen mistakes. I am queen of making mistakes. Anybody else? Hallelujah! Because it is on top of every mistake that then we go to the next level of our experience. Until we judge it. The second you judge your mistake, you've taken away the juice for the lesson. As soon as your ego is more important to you and being okay about it is more important to you, then suddenly the lesson and the opportunity, you could miss it. You really could miss it. You have to be willing to get dirty. You have to be willing to make mistakes. You have to be willing to be sloppy. And I don't know if I said this. Maybe I said it in class. When I came home from conference, we have to be willing to fail bravely. What if failing didn't have a sting? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if that time you got fired had no sting? It didn't matter. Right? Are you with me? You're starting to feel this as I'm saying this to you? What if that relationship, that divorce, was just a divorce and it didn't have a sense of loss or failure attached to it? And it was simply another chapter in the book of you. And as soon as you start to put things in a different perspective and they don't have the sting, you're willing to go out and try again. And you're willing to go out to risk again. And you're willing to put yourself out there again. You really want to put yourself out there all the time. Be a practitioner or a minister. Unfortunately, we get to do it publicly. I get to fail publicly when that happens. Inspiration, your inspiration must be met with a certain amount of determination. It must be met with determination. Hang on one second, I'm gonna just... I never know how to pronounce her name properly. Anais Nin? Thank you, what they said. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. It's like, wow. So I know that this, I was at my step-grandson's wedding, and it was really a hoot because, Bill and I are exes, and so he had the opportunity to be there with all of his wives, past and present. It was all of us hanging out. And I knew I didn't care, and I knew Marilyn didn't care. We're all part of this teaching, but I knew Linda cared. And I thought, oh, the poor baby. So I made sure as soon as we saw her, I went up and hugged her to kind of dispel the worry that might have been on her head. So there we are, we were at the wedding. And it was an incredible thing. It was incredible. So I got to spend some time with my step-granddaughter. And God love that little girl. She came in the world feisty. She continues to be feisty. And unless something happens, she's going to die feisty and alone. She's more than a witch. I'm being polite, okay? I love her dearly. I love her dearly. And she's moving north, and I can't wait to get around her more of the time, okay? But the funny thing is, she was referring back to a vacation we had been on many years ago. She was there, and she was talking about my son Seth, And she was, asking me how he was, and she was remembering the vacation. She says, yeah. She says, he was a little snarky, wasn't he? I went, Seth? Snarky? Anybody who knows my son, I don't even care if he is, but snarky is not a word you put on Seth. If anything, he's quiet. He doesn't say much of anything. Feisty, witchy, feisty, more like feisty, huh? Bitey. Okay, bitey. Okay. So I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? She wasn't seeing him as he was. She was seeing as she is. You get that? Ooh, those of you who have been judging others, be careful. It will bite you. It will. But the gift in it is if even if you let it come out of your mouth, and then I suggest you find a place. Because in being sloppy, part of that is to find someone that you can talk to who's not going to judge you. I have those people in my life, and I'll say, okay, I need to vent. I need to debrief. And I give only moments to that language, because as it comes up and through me, then I know what I'm dealing with. So creativity is sloppy. That's what I want you to remember. Be willing to get dirty. Inspiration must be met with determination. And the third thing is, in the time of growth, I want you to schedule fun. I want you to schedule fun. Don't take yourself and even your pain so damn seriously. Don't take it so seriously. None of it. Someone said at a conference, they were talking about a minister who was fretting over church. And then he says, it's only a church. It's only a life. It's only whatever that is. Take away this thing and have some fun and joy with it. And I want to read this other thing to you out of Courageous Dreaming. And by the way, he was a, Alberto Villalobos was an anthropologist turned shaman. I have read almost every one of his books. He is absolutely one of my teachers. And I just, the work is very gentle, but it's very deep. And we do have it in the bookstore if you care to get it. He says, we can steer the ship of our life and even the summon the wind and changes and change its direction. But to do so requires quiet acts of courage. It requires letting go of the need to move the winds for our own purposes and instead choose to move them for the greater good. It requires that we accept responsibility for what we change instead of ducking the consequences. And most of all, it requires that we be careful what we wish for, because what we dream, we will create. What we dream, we will create. Get sloppy in your creativity, in your dreaming. Find the determination that will carry you. And then with that determination, there has to be a bit of discipline. And that's where I think of it as being stubborn. Because by golly, eventually when I want something, I'm going to bite into it. I am like a pit bull. I mean, when I finally really want something to happen, I'm gonna sink my teeth in it and I'm not letting go, like holding on to the tail of the tiger. You know, kind of whips you around a little bit, but you will land on your feet. And if you don't, you get to have a great ride. A great ride. But always schedule fun. Always, always schedule fun. Oh, I had something else. My computer pooped out on me yesterday, so here's my talk. Courage doesn't always roar. I love this. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. Mary Ann Radmacher? Anybody know that name? Sorry. Stop laughing! Oh, go ahead and laugh. I can't help it. I can't pronounce these names. So, not for a second do I say don't reach high. Matter of fact, reach high as long as you are simultaneously stretching and digging deep. Because this cannot be sustained if you do not strengthen your being. You with me? And so it is.